This is the Funky Gamer Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello there. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Funky Gamer Podcast, a gaming podcast from a bunch of wannabe somebody yet still nobody British dudes who think they know stuff. I'm your host, Ricky James, and this is episode 27. E3 has, of course, been and gone. The hype has officially died down. So we are here to discuss some more of the mainstream news that's been hitting our faces over the last week. So stick around to hear all the conversing and stuff alongside me whilst we continue to broadcast in hope of an eventual safe return for David. Please welcome Mr. Chris Wright. Be thine fine, ye old sneeze pig.
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Good. Thanks for being here as always, matey.
That's all right.
Shall we dive right into the good stuff and talk about what we've been playing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that right now.
What are you playing?
Right, because I went last week and I made it really, really obvious.
Did you?
I'm going to let you go. Yeah, I did. Do you not remember? I was like, I never go first.
Yeah, oh dear, that's true. Yeah, I do remember that.
But I'm going to have to alternate because, you know, otherwise it just looks like I'm being greedy. So
yeah, it does.
What have you been playing?
Okay. I'm going to lead with something big.
Okay. Should I brace myself?
I have completed another game. I am not sure if we can insert a fanfare here or something else. But yes, Days Gone is days done.
If you listen to this back and there is somehow a fanfare that has been appropriately inserted, you will know that that request has been met. How about that?
That would be nice. That would be very, very nice.
Congratulations, sir, for completing Days Gone.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have just completed the main story. There are obviously other bits to go back and do, but I don't. Given some of the hordes, I may not actually venture back.
Is it that bad?
Some of them are horrendous. They really are. Took me a good, 30, 40 minutes to get through one the other day?
That long?
I was dying a lot.
Are you talking like continuous running?
I'm talking continuous running, dying, running, more dying, a bit more running and a bit more dying. And then eventually you sort of learn the lay of the land and you know how to sort of guide the horde as to where you want them to go.
Right, okay. So there is a tactic to it.
There is a tactic, yes, as with anything. Because in one area, not to give too much away, but there are plenty of things that explode if you shoot them.
Ah, I see. So there are like kind of environmental opportunities as well as just like shooting at stuff.
Yes, there are. There are. And if you can sort of guide them a certain way by sort of running slower or sort of a bit more, sort of giving them a bit more of an idea of where to chase you from, you can sort of get them where you want them.
Yeah, you can kind of lead them like a conga.
You can, yes, a conga line you don't want to be the head of,
sure.
Because honestly, it's not fun at all. I nearly took a photo of one that was chasing me the other day, but I just couldn't bring myself to.
The thing is, photo mode is always on two really awkward buttons as well that you got to try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like kind of cock armed.
Yeah, it was the moment I just couldn't, because I was that stressed at just having this horde chasing me. I wasn't going to pause it, take this photo and then carry on back in.
Fair enough. Well, I don't blame you. I think I'd have done the exact same thing and just carried on running probably.
Yeah. So yeah, it needed to happen.
So what did you rate of the game overall?
I really enjoyed the story. The story was good, if a little predictable in parts. It's a little bit roller coastery, but you get a decent ending,
right?
Sort of all roads lead to one place, and you are obviously funneled towards the ending pretty quickly. Once you see it coming, you'll know you're getting there. Enemies get a little bullet spongy in the final area.
Yeah,
honestly, 10 headshots to down somebody is not how it should be done.
No, that's a pet peeve of mine in games as well, especially when it's headshots.
Yeah, here's some ammo, you know you're gonna have to use all of it. Crack on.
This should speak for itself. The term headshot should speak for itself. It shouldn't be 10 bullets to the head. It should be two at max.
Yeah, you shouldn't need it. Yes, I know the guy's wearing a helmet, but the first shot I hit him with was bang on. The second shot should be killing him.
Exactly. Well, we're not going to delve into this other portal that I'm probably about to open, but the new Tom Clancy's Wildlands successor. breakpoint,
yes,
will apparently allow you to kill enemies realistically with headshots. In other words, you won't plow them full of bullets in the head and they not die.
Okay, that should be interesting.
So maybe there is a game that's trying to break the mold with that kind of thing. Anyways, I'm glad to hear you've been enjoying Days Gone. And once again, congratulations on completing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything else that you've been on with? I'm guessing that's probably it if you've managed to get through it.
Yeah, that has been pretty much it. I did play some more Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but not very much because I really wanted to finish Days Gone. It's been too long.
Well, congratulations on doing so because you've been able to report it this week. That's good for you.
Yes, I am now pleased with myself.
I know, right? Oh, but by the way, just as a point on this, one thing you can't do, Chris, I love you to bits, but what you can't do is advertise your Instagram. And then when somebody posts their amazement at the fact that you've completed a game in Discord, tell them that they're a stalker.
But it was literally 30 seconds after I posted it.
He's got a good eye.
Well, clearly. Just sat there refreshing my feed. Hi, Finny.
You invite stalkers. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, that's clearly. Yeah, not that Finny's just, oh God, no. Let's not go down this rabbit hole.
Hey.
I'll tell you what I've been playing. How about that?
Go for it.
So, Spider-Man DLC has been the main thing that I've been on with. So, I've kind of completed the second piece and haven't started the third yet.
Okay.
I've been trying to mop up some more of the main bits on the campaign, like the research stations and stuff.
Ah, yes.
So I've been going back through those and trying to just complete them. I have done. I've got all the backpacks. I've done all the research stations now. It's just really the gangs and the random events that spawn around the city.
Oh, I hated those.
Which I will do. The thing is, there's no, as far as I can tell, in order to platinum the game, there's no requirement for you to hit all the criteria for the gang fights. You just need to do them once.
Yes.
Which is nice. So it seems like quite an easy one to platinum. I think I will eventually do it. But yes, I've been kind of going back through the main campaign, picking up bits, and then onto the second piece of the DLC, which I finished.
Good.
The second thing, I have been thoroughly enjoying that, by the way. It is still an incredible game.
It is.
And yeah, I just love the combat, love the swing and everything about it. So we'll continue to play that until I either die or something else happens. I don't know. Mm. As well as that, though, I picked up this, and only this afternoon, a copy of Skyrim VR for PSVR, of course.
Yes.
I've wasted a number of hours of my life today on that game because it's good.
Okay, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It's like, honestly, as far as the VR experience goes, like that is immersive as hell, man. It does look a little bit dated, but we all knew that.
Yeah.
And the story's pretty decent. I never completed it on console either. And I think this is the way that I'm absolutely going to play all the way through this game. Because it is crazy being able to, you know, with the head tracking, look around these buildings that you've typically just seen on a flat screen.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I would highly recommend anybody that has PSVR to pick this up. I've been playing it with a controller, no problem whatsoever. And along with the head tracking, it works beautifully.
And tell people where you bought it from.
I actually got it from CEX. Sex.
For an absolute bargain.
I did, yeah. So PlayStation, I was looking on the PlayStation store because I was nearly a chump. I've got to say, I nearly paid the £47 that Sony wanted for a copy of the game.
Oof.
And at that point, I was like, nope. So then I started looking online and I found a place that would ship me a physical copy for about £16 or something like that. It was on discount.
Not bad.
I was going to do that, but I had to wait for it to be delivered. So I would have been quite fine with that. But I thought, you know what, I'll just check, because I live in the middle of a big city centre. So I thought, I'll just check to see whether my local CEX, which is 5 minutes walk from me, has a copy. And lo and behold, they had one copy in. And I was like, no way. How much? £18. So I ran in, literally went up to the counter, said, where's this game? He flew out, passed a shelf, did a 360 around the store, came back with the game in his hand. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. It was such salesmanship.
Never seen anybody be that useful in CEX.
And he processed it, gave me his quick thoughts on the VR unit, because he said he had one and he'd been playing with his missus and also. And yeah, it was a nice bit of banter. I left, I came home, I played it, I lost part of my life for today, and now we're sitting here discussing it.
Good.
But I'm enjoying it. Yeah, definitely. If you've got PSVR, this is definitely one that you want to pick up and play. It's good, it's good, it's good. But that's it. That's all I've been doing. To be fair, as I pointed out to you before we started recording, it's only been a number of days since we actually sat down and last did a podcast for E3, so.
It has, yes, yes.
With that said, let's move on to the few bits of news that we have for this week. Some stuff's been making the rounds, so why not chat about that for a bit, eh, Chris?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Funky Gamer news and discussion.
Right, first up, and this is arguably the biggest story to air within the last 7 days. Every media outlet.
This is my most favorite story of the week.
It's incredible. Every single media outlet and his mother and his mother's brother and his mother's brother's uncle, I don't know how that works in terms of a family tree, but
neither do I.
All those people have been talking about this. Amazingly so. So let's have a quick chat about it. What is this thing that we are talking about? Well, none other than EA, the company that we all love. Chris is a big fan of Andrew Wilson.
Absolutely hate the guy. Wait.
With love, you know. So anyway, they've been defending themselves. I'd say defending themselves. I don't know how you want to phrase it.
They've not really been defending themselves, have they? Let's be honest.
Well, not when you kind of hear the stuff that came out the lawyer's mouth, man. So they've been in the UK recently because the UK Parliament are basically conducting an investigation into loot boxes and the idea of gambling mechanics within games, much like Belgium did. And EA representatives, in this case, one of their head lawyers, was invited to a hearing within which they could present their case for why loot boxes were appropriate and all these other things. Anyway, to cut a long story short, and this is what I think Chris finds absolutely incredible. When asked whether or not they found loot boxes ethical, the response that was given to the person that asked the question was simply that they don't like to call them loot boxes. EA doesn't like to call loot boxes, Chris.
Well, they wouldn't, would they? Let's be honest. Because you wouldn't, would you?
No, well, no, not now, in today's modern day and climate, after they've been given such a bad rap.
No.
They have been referred to, apparently, as of, I don't know, about 2-3 days ago.
Yeah.
As surprise mechanics.
Good on them.
I really have nothing to say to this that isn't going to require a heavy amount of editing and, ooh, swear word stuff.
That swear button will be massively used.
I'm going to save myself some work and try and gloss over this as politely as I possibly can. And, I don't know whether you share my opinion on this, Chris, but to me, this is completely and utterly ludicrous because they're just trying to rebrand something that's really become a meme and a really quite a horrible thing to talk about in video games now.
Yeah, of course. Everybody knows it's a loot box. EA know it's a loot box, but now they don't want you to call it a loot box.
But they want to call it surprise mechanics.
Yes. Is it now a surprise box? I don't know.
The thing is, they were likening them to things like Kinder Surprise, which is, especially here in the UK, and I know in Europe, they're a big chocolate brand.
They are banned in America.
Because they think that their children are going to swallow the toys, I think.
Yes, quite possibly. Yes, it's a very strange thing.
Too small or something like that. Although the babies in Europe, screw them.
All fine. Yeah. We're all okay over here. We don't need mollycoddling like that.
I like Kinder Eggs, but I would never, ever have drawn the comparison to that and FIFA Ultimate.
No, nobody would, unless you're EA and an EA lawyer.
No, for me, this presents a rather miraculous set of knackers on the part of EA, if you know what I'm saying. This to me seems pretty shady. They're trying to avoid a subject that they're being quizzed on and they know is likely to not go in favour of them.
Yeah. It's going to roll on and on, isn't it? EA are just going to try and dodge this bullet as much as they can. But we all know.
Exactly. And I'm just reading some of the quotes here. They aren't gambling, and we disagree that there's evidence that shows they lead to gambling. What evidence have you been looking at?
I don't know. Maybe they've done their own in-house research. Just sent a little questionnaire out through emails.
Well, that's not going to be biased in any way or targeted, is it?
No, absolutely not. No, this is EA. They never do anything shady or underhanded.
What do you think will be the outcome on the part of British Parliament here? Do you think they will fall for this? I don't think that if you watch the entire hearing, which is like 2 hours long, it's on YouTube somewhere. I may link it if I remember and I can find it.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Probably not. But if it is, it's in the show notes, so go check it out. But the people that were quizzing the EA counterparts were, intelligent guys. They weren't stupid. They have seen the impact this has had in places like Belgium, and it's quite clear to them that just kind of rebranding and saying, well, they're just like Kinder, that's not quite going to cut the mustard in this case.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Such a British phrase, cut the mustard. Well, I don't know what will come with this. Obviously, with pretty much everything, we're going to have to wait and see. But it's this hilarity has been making the rounds over the last couple of days.
It will not make a blind bit of difference to EA, I'm sure.
Well, they'll continue fighting it until the absolute death or until they can find something to replace it.
They will get loot Kinder Surprise crate boxes in there however they can.
No, do you know what? If it were actually a physical thing, I can guarantee there wouldn't be half as much hoo-ha about all of this.
No, that's true.
But the fact is, it isn't, and that's part of the problem, really. So, there you go. Well, I'd love to know what other people, as always, think on this particular issue. I think most of the internet is united and unified in their message to EA. In that, I'm just going to say it. EA, you are full of sh-
swear word.
You said a swear word.
I know. Well, everybody else will know now because they'll have heard the phrase.
They will.
Right. Let's leave that behind and, I don't know, probably revisit that over the coming weeks if any more news becomes apparent. I hope it does.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. I hope it does too.
I hope it does. And I hope EA gets slashed like on the Achilles heel.
Ooh.
Ouchies.
That's really nasty.
What have we got next, man?
We have a game digital story. So the big gaming company from the UK, Game, likened to, I'd say, GameStop in the US.
Yeah.
Huge, huge company, but struggled financially for, what, a number of years now?
I am surprised to a degree that they are still going.
So am I.
They've been very lucky, you know.
Yes.
At one point, they were two chains. Were they not also, what was the other one?
GameStation.
That was it. Yes. See, they also, it's GameStop, GameStation.
Yeah, Game came out and bought GameStation and took over all their sites, realized that was a massively bad idea and were hemorrhaging money left, right, and center.
I know. But this is what I mean. I'm surprised that they've still been in administration even up to now.
Yeah, I think they've managed to sort of close down a few stores that weren't making money, because obviously with them acquiring GameStation, they had some towns and cities with two stores. And you're not gonna, you don't need that, really, do you? Not in this day and age.
I've got one right next to me, and it's so convenient. But at the same time, I do find that Kmart, to a degree, apart from when they have maybe the odd sale on, which is all right, they're quite overpriced in a lot of senses.
Yeah, they are a little bit pricey. They can't really compete.
No, well, this is it. I think that's probably why they've been acquired. So have we got any details on the actual acquisition itself, just for the listeners?
Yeah, Sports Direct have come in and bought them.
A sports company?
A sporting clothing company. The man behind the brand, Mike Ashley, he's got his finger in many pies. And the size of the guy, he's clearly eaten a fair few too.
I really need to see what he looks like. Now, what's he called? Mark Ashley?
Mike Ashley.
Okay, Mike Ashley. As in A-S-H-L-E-Y.
Yes. Are you actually Googling this now?
Yeah. Oh my God. He has ate all the pies.
Yes, he has indeed.
He looks like Kevin James ate Kevin James.
So yeah, they've splashed $52 million on Game to sort of acquire it. Because given UK regulations, if you go over a certain stakeholding in a company, you need to make a takeover bid. So he's done that.
I see. So I mean, I take it all parties involved are in agreement. There's no underhanded turmoil or anything like that here?
No. Just the attitude of the guy behind all the brand, pretty much. It's just a whole Mike Ashley thing.
Fair enough. Well, I suppose if this allows the brand of Game to continue in some way, he obviously has more money than God.
Yes, he does. He has a few quid.
Yeah, absolutely, from mainly selling tracksuits to chaps, but
yes,
nonetheless.
He does it quite well.
People who actually play sport as well, I'm not going to diss those, but they do sell tracksuits to chaps.
Yes.
I think it's a good thing. And I mean, I can't see why this is a bad thing. Again, if it allows the brand to continue and I get to keep a local game store, that's, I guess, a good thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it will save Game in a way again. If they were at all struggling financially once more, this little bit of backup allows them to sort of open up in other areas, because Mike Ashley, as well as owning Sports Direct, he owns the House of Fraser brand.
Right. Did they not go into administration recently?
They did, yes. But I think, yeah, they're still there.
Right.
But obviously they've closed a few stores in order to steady the ship. And I think with acquiring Game, that might help them as well.
For sure. Now, the question that I wonder out of all of this, because one of the main reasons, and let's be quite frank about this, Chris, when you look at GameStop and Game as two brands, for instance, that sell, well, games, it's in their title.
Yes.
They both have fundamentally failed to evolve into what is becoming more and more a digital medium. And this, I think, is a problem that is going to continue. And neither of them seem to be making strides in this area. You know, we can't buy any kind of digital goods, as far as I can tell, from like Game or GameStop. It is all completely physical. And that is something that is starting to wane a little bit.
Yeah, I think they do need help in that situation. And I don't think games companies are going to step in to help them.
No. Well, it is a bit of a double-edged sword. It's good that I don't think retail gaming should go away in any way, but I do think something, and I don't know what, but something needs to give with the way that these companies and in-store things operate.
Yes, yeah, we do need high street game stores, because if we lose another one, then what have we got? We're going to have pretty much nothing on high street stores but charity shops.
Certainly not in the UK, and secondhand shops.
Yes.
Like CEX, or I should say it correctly, sex.
Yes.
Yes, that is how you say it.
Of course it is. Everybody knows that.
They make a business. They sell DVDs and other mediums. Their gaming segment is where they make a lot of their money, I would imagine.
Because they buy it off you for a quid and sell it for 20.
It's insane, but sometimes people are desperate for the cash and it works.
Yeah, it does. That's true.
There you go. Well, that's pretty much all we have to say for anybody here in the UK. If you didn't know about this, then now you do. I don't think it's really going to affect anything. Maybe some stores will probably get closed down if they're not making enough money or something like that.
Yeah, they'll probably look at that in the, I'd say, over the next 6 months to a year.
But the brand of game itself still exists. For how long, though? I'd love to hear people's thoughts and predictions on that kind of thing, because like I say, it's becoming more of gaming in general is becoming more and more of a digital medium, and retail stores are hanging on by a thread.
They are.
I wonder what people think about that. You've just heard our opinions. Let us know yours. Right, let's move on, shall we? There's not a ton of information about this next story. It's more of a follow-up to one of the points that we talked about in Microsoft's E3 conference podcast from last week.
Yes.
And it relates to Elden Ring.
Which for me is still a weird title.
Yeah, it is. I think we made a dirty joke about it.
Us? Never. No, I don't think. No, that doesn't sound like us.
No, let's not go there again. It's probably quite obvious, actually, as to what it was to do with Elden Ring. There you go. So this was demoed. I say demoed. It was teased as a new game from George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, there was a weird trailer.
Yeah, it was a really, really weird trailer, just kind of depicting this fantasy thing. I don't quite know what it was. It wasn't really depicting anything. It was just a load of weird fantasy stuff that you'd kind of expect from a RPG, maybe, in some way.
I'd say so, yeah.
But that said, From Software's developing the game, which we all know, are the developers of Dark Souls.
Yes. So it's another one of those games, isn't it?
Effectively, yes. There's been a news publication. In this case, I'm sourcing from Metro. They've had an interview with the co-creator. I can't say his name. It's too Japanese. I am so sorry. And I'm not going to attempt it or butcher it in any way, shape, or form. I will put this one in the show notes so that people can check it out.
Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Yeah. Oh, look at you being all special and clever.
I know. Just say what you see. It's easy done.
It's not catchphrase.
You sure?
I don't mean to piss on you, Mr. Chips, but it isn't.
That's a reference nobody will get.
No, apart from 90s UK people.
Yes.
Maybe. And Roy Walker, if you're listening. Roy, hello. Anyway, let's quickly steer this shit back on course.
Please, please do.
They've come out and given us a bit more information about what this game is, Elden Ring. And, well, it's surmised as follows, is a natural evolution of Dark Souls, says Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Very good.
Thank you very much. So yeah, it seems like this is going to be very much a Dark Souls-esque game, which most people kind of thought it would be, being developed by From Software, but there was always a chance that they might strive for something new.
Yes, try something different.
I am kind of gutted that it isn't something new, because people have heard my thoughts on Dark Souls in the past. Dave's now a convert, big fan of those games, and I probably would be. I just haven't put the time into it and therefore don't have the investment emotionally.
That's it.
There was part of me that was just thinking, well, if they did something else, something new, then maybe I'd just try it. But it would seem not. The quote that we have here, and by the way, the original interview was with IGN. He said, whilst the narrow and complex dungeons of our previous games were indeed interconnected, Elden Ring's environments will be much more open and vast, with a larger world, new systems, and action mechanics inevitably become necessary. In that sense, I think that Elden Ring is more a natural evolution of Dark Souls. What are your thoughts on this? Let's just ask that.
I don't know. I'm probably as interested as I was beforehand in not very much.
No, I know what you're saying. And to be honest with you, we still have sparse details on what actually this game is, aside from some kind of confirmation that it's now a very close comparison to Dark Souls.
Yeah, you're not going to spend your time dying a lot and getting very angry at a game again. Or not, as the case may be, if you run around in your pants defeating massive monsters.
People who do that, we've said this before, people who do that are insane.
Yes, they are.
As far as I am concerned. Yes. Very, very hardcore. But apparently this game, unlike the Dark Souls games, won't have a main character.
Okay.
So in that sense, I think it means that you'll be an anonymous person. I'm pretty sure that the respawns in Dark Souls are named in some sense. You're like the ancestor of the first character you made, or something like that.
I genuinely couldn't tell you. I don't have enough information.
We are showing our lack of expertise. If Dave were here, he'd be able to tell me.
If Dave were here, he'd be all over this right now. But me and you, not a clue.
Exactly. We miss you, Dave. This is what happens when you have to move house. Hopefully he will be back soon. Anyway, that's really all I can say. I probably won't be playing this just based on this summary. You know, I'm not a big fan, as I've said already many, many times, of the Dark Souls games. I don't think this is going to change my mind in any way. They're just not for me. I'm not saying they're not good. They're just not for me.
Very well done. Very well put.
Thank you very much. Finally, I'm going to let you talk about this, but I will speak more to it given the fact that I've played it. You can tell people about it.
Yeah, given the fact that I just know it exists.
Who doesn't at this point? Again, amazingly, this has been all over mainstream media like an absolute plague.
Yes, they dropped a Harry Potter AR game similar to your Pokemon Go this week, and it is apparently very good and very entertaining, and I don't know anything about it.
So I've played it.
Good. At least one of us has.
I am a level 5 wizard, Chris.
Are you?
Yes.
What house are you in?
Expelliarmus. No, I'm actually a massive Potter fan, so what I've just said is sacrilege.
Go on.
Up until now, I haven't...
You actually get assigned a house.
Well, you see, now you confuse me, because I thought you were asking because you knew you could be assigned a house. And I was going to say, no, I haven't, but the game might do that eventually. I don't know. I haven't...
Okay.
So, yeah, we've further obfuscated the situation.
Yeah, we don't answer any questions, we merely pose more questions.
Instead of clarifying, we've made things more complicated, which is what I think a good podcast should do.
I would have to agree.
Thanks for backing me up. I appreciate it. Anyway, I have played it, and I honestly don't know whether you eventually do get the capability to either be put into a house. I'm going to say Great Gryffindor, just because it's the least common house.
Is it?
Yeah, nobody will want to be in that.
No. Oh, no, of course not. No.
Everyone will be going for Slytherin, you know.
You think?
Yeah, 100%. That's the most popular house.
I feel more Hufflepuff.
That does not surprise me in the slightest. You are the biggest Hufflepuff that I've ever met.
Things Chris Rigatti said.
Yes.
Number 127.
You're racking them up on a weekly basis now.
Well, yeah, of course. What would it be if I didn't?
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's one for the archives, Chris, so keep it coming.
Good. I'm glad I am here to entertain.
Would you like me to tell you a bit about what I do know about this Harry Potter game?
Sure. Please dig me out of this hole.
I'm not going to linger on for this for too long because it is mobile gaming, but everybody's talking about it. And I think we did talk about Pokemon Go when that was a thing. If the podcast was going there, I can't remember. Anyway.
We did.
If you've played Pokemon Go, you've played the Harry Potter AI game. It's in nearly every sense identical, apart from the way that you act with the encounters. It's simply swiping in a certain fashion to cast a spell. It draws out the pattern on the screen. You got to trace it with your finger, effectively. And accuracy and timing very much account for how successful the spell is in terms of its cast. It's really that simple. You're collecting stuff. And yeah, as you go around, you can interact with certain buildings that are kind of correspond to real life monuments. So there's plenty here in the city that I live in, and you can click on them and they will give you stuff. So if you've played Pokemon Go, It's like that.
But with Harry Potter things.
But you're a wizard, Harry.
Well, of course.
It's not bad. I actually do quite enjoy it. I can't really say much else. It's exactly like Pokemon Go, apart from it's set around the Harry Potter theme. And it is decent. It is decent. If you do a lot of walking and you like your AR mobile games akin to Pokemon Go, you'll like this.
How many times have we said Pokemon Go in this little section alone?
Pokemon Go? I mean, I don't know.
Nor do I. I'd lost count at about 12.
Everything sounds like Pokemon Go now to me. So I would probably recommend you check it out. It's a nice little game. It doesn't kind of pressure on the premium currency stuff. So it doesn't start forcing you to buy gems, and the times are actually fairly reasonable.
That's good.
It's not egregious is what I'm saying. I can live with it. And if you're a fan of Harry Potter, you're going to absolutely chuff off this.
Yeah.
So I'm a level 5 wizard.
You've probably played it to death already if you're a Harry Potter fan, let's be honest.
Undoubtedly, much like the people that played Pokemon to death. I'm surprised this hasn't reached BBC News or something like that, because Pokemon did.
Pokemon was massive, yeah.
And this is from the same games, the same guys that made the Pokemon game.
Niantic.
That's just very randomly reminded me of you saying Kakarot.
It's a very strange thing.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Yes, I like that game. In fact, no, I like saying the name of the game.
I was going to say, it's not out yet. How can you like the game?
I know, yeah.
Have you got some kind of backstage access that I don't know about, Chris?
Probably not.
Don't answer that.
Okay.
Don't answer that.
I cannot confirm or deny.
If you are a fan of Harry Potter and you want a decent Pokemon Go-like game to play on the go with your friends and stuff, check this out. It's free. It is on iOS and Android, and it's probably one of the only mobile games we will ever discuss on this podcast.
Probably, yes.
That said, I don't really have anything else for the news. That pretty much seems to have been it, at least since we last sat down to speak post E3. Maybe some cool stuff will happen between now and next week, and we can talk about
Talking of post E3.
All right, okay.
This is a nice little segue into this little thing, because I've done some research again this week.
Chris, you are week on week amazing me at the moment. Incredible.
I know. I am. I'm doing more than I probably should.
What have you researched?
I have researched, E3's been and gone, and they announced collector's editions at these game shows. And honestly, if you want to pick up the three big ones, it's going to cost you a fair few quid.
Well, is Cyberpunk one of them?
Cyberpunk is probably the biggest one at 250 quid.
Yeah, I've maybe pre-ordered that.
Have you now?
Yeah.
Different game, yes.
No, actually, I just did it through Amazon.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Although,
I thought you'd be propping up game.
Well, maybe I should, because the last time I ordered a console of Amazon was the One X, and it was the day one One X, and it arrived 2 days late, if you remember the kerfuffle that happened on Twitter.
I do indeed, yeah. That was good to follow.
Thank you. What, getting angry?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but when you do, man.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, Amazon are a better company for it, I can tell you that now.
Yes, it made all the difference to them, I'm sure.
Yes. So I have pre-ordered the Cyberpunk Collector's Edition, but it is it's a one-off, basically.
It's a huge, huge thing.
It is. And do you know what? I'm not just saying it. More than any other company in the gaming industry, CD Projekt Red have always given me more value for my pound or dollar than any other company. You know, pound for content. So I can only assume that a £250 collector's edition is going to be incredible.
That 250 quid gets you, this is a big list, a collector's edition box, a case with game disc, collectible steelbook, 25 centimeter by 10 inch statue depicting V, the game's protagonist in action, a hardcover art book, a metal pin set, a Quadra VTech metal keychain, an annotated copy of A Visitor's Guide to Night City sealed in an NCPD evidence bag, embroidered patches, world compendium detailing the game setting and lore, postcards from Night City and a map of Night City, and a sticker bomb set.
Woo! Wow. I missed a couple of those. Would you mind awfully just running through all of those, every single one in order again without any slip-ups? I'm just joking. Don't do that.
Just skip back 30 seconds or a minute. If you missed any of them, that's fine.
What you're trying to say, Chris, is I'm going to get a lot of bang for my buck here.
You are, yes. You're getting a fair bit for your money right there. So, yeah, 250 quid well spent if you're into that kind of thing.
Like me. But tell me, Chris, what are the other two?
Ubisoft's big game, Watch Dogs Legion. They are releasing a £150 bundle for you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that doesn't get you much as much as the 250 quid Cyberpunk edition, but it does get you a mask, something called the Golden King Pack, and a few days early access to the game.
Yeah, I wish... I'm sorry, as much as I am looking forward to Legion, it's starting to annoy me that these companies are now putting early access as part of pre-orders and collector's editions. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely insane and it shouldn't exist. It's just silly, you know? I just don't understand it. Anyway, they've traditionally given you similar things in previous collector's editions for Watch Dogs games. I remember in the first you got one of the bandana mask things that Aiden wears.
Yes, you got a hat as well, I think, from one.
To basically look like Aiden Pierce.
Yes, pretty much. Just to nail that look as you were playing.
That was every cosplayer's dream, I'm telling you. Because they didn't have to make it. They just had to find a coat.
Yep, they did. They did. That was the easy bit.
So that's 150 quid, you say?
That's 150 quid. And the final one, another Ubisoft title, Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Right, what's this going for then, and what do we get with it?
That is going for £150 also, and that gets you a statue of the protagonist, beta access, the Sentinel Corpse Pack, and early access.
Damn, I'm sensing a pattern with Ubisoft.
It's like they're trying to annoy you.
They literally are. If you're listening and you're from Ubisoft, just get in touch. Do you know what would stop me being annoyed, at least publicly and on air?
Yes.
Like free, just copies of some games. So yeah, that was just get in touch.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Would indeed. Well, that's all good and well, actually. I didn't actually know the details for Watch Dogs and Breakpoint there.
Yeah.
I obviously did for Cyberpunk because I bought it.
Yes, obviously, yes. Yes. So there you go. It's going to cost you a fair bit if you want those all three of those collector's editions that are coming out.
It will. Are you going to get, you the listener that is, any of those games or those collector's editions? If you're on the Cyberpunk 2077 collector's edition hype train bandwagon thing with me and Dave, then let us know because, yeah, we're going to make an exclusive little club called Rich Kids or something like that. I don't know. I'll tell you what, actually, Chris, are you going to be getting any of them?
I am not. I'm just going to be getting your bog standard fun editions of games.
So you'll be getting all three of them, but just standard?
I'll be getting, yes, all three of them, but as standard games, because I don't really want to encourage game companies to be carried on with this kind of shenanigans.
No, well, this is what I mean. And out of all three of those, I'm not just saying it, like CD Projekt Red are the ones that I completely in trust to be able to do this fairly more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully my time and my money will be well invested. I may do some YouTube coverage, unboxing, that kind of thing, of that particular collector's edition when it arrives.
Next year.
Yeah, I know. That was like a pre-Chris's Corner.
I know, right?
Corner.
It wasn't bad, though, was it?
It wasn't. Would you like to talk some more and we'll move on to, what were we going to call it? The cornery thing, was it?
My cornery bit.
The old cornery bit. Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
It's time for Chris's Corner.
Okay. We have some Fable 4 news that isn't actually Fable 4 news.
What? Why didn't I know about this?
I don't know. Because you're usually right on top of the Fable 4 news. So Phil Spencer has come out and said why Fable 4 wasn't at the E3 this year.
No way. Why didn't I know? Carry on.
I think this story emerged today as you were balls deep in your VR experience. So that may be why it passed you by.
Listen, my balls have not been out my pants all day.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
It's just an interesting fact.
Painting a right picture there.
Yes. Of my balls.
Yes. Oh, good God. Right. Anyway, moving on. Phil Spencer has come out and said why Fable 4 was not at E3. He said because it's not ready. They have nothing to show. They didn't want to come out and show sort of any sort of footage that wasn't going to be released or wasn't going to be shown or was going to lead to no release date coming, because all the things we saw in the Microsoft conference had a date.
Yeah. Well, or a window.
And Fable 4 currently has neither gameplay nor anything that they could show. So he didn't want to come out and show us any footage because they've got nothing really to show us. But I think rumors are that it is definitely coming now.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. Did he specifically say Fable 4?
Did he specifically say Fable 4? He did.
You see, that's interesting because Microsoft haven't spoken about this publicly. At least I don't think they have. They've never in any capacity confirmed that there is a fourth game in development. There was a big rumor going around that they'd given the franchise to Playground to develop.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they never confirmed it, like, to media or anybody.
I have a quote here from the man himself.
Go.
Running a studio organization and making sure we're talking about games at the right time when we know what we're trying to build. I'm not making any comments specifically about Fable. It's about anything in the portfolio that we have some idea of when it would come out.
Right. Okay. So the question that he must have been directed must have been around Fable in some way, shape, or form for him to then say, well, I'm not.
Yes, it sounds it.
I'm not going to allude to Fable specifically.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't give a hell of a lot away because he's not confirming it or denying it there.
He is not.
Juicy. Oh, God. I really just was hoping to see it this year. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping so hard.
I know. But there we go. There is some non-news about Fable 4.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for at least letting me know about that, because amazingly I didn't.
You are welcome.
I was going to say, I'm sure all the listeners are grateful for that as well.
I'm sure they might have passed a few of them by.
Maybe so. Well, yeah, that's why we tell them about these things, right?
It is, yes. That's why I'm here to do my little bit every week.
What's the second bit of your little bit? That made no sense.
Heavy Rain is now available to play on PC through the Epic Game Store.
Oh, right. I was going to say, what are we talking about the weather for, Chris? That's ridiculous.
Yes, we are now a weather podcast.
With meteorologist Mr. Chris Wright.
Yeah, so we are now spreading our wings and going further afield into the weather forecasting.
It doesn't surprise me that this has come to the Epic Game Store. Why doesn't it surprise me, Chris? Because we reported on it a number of months ago.
Yeah, but yeah, you can play it as of right now.
That's really good for PC players. We said it back then when they announced that they would be developing for the PC platform.
Do you know how long ago it was released?
Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
It's got to be 2011.
Oh, we're coming up to 10 years.
Right, so it was 2009.
Yeah. Time flies, because I did not think it was that long ago.
No, and they have had a couple of other games out since then as well. Quantic Dream, they've had the Beyond Two Souls, and they've also had the Cyber one that I'm suddenly blanking on because it was amazing.
I love that you blank on this game absolutely every time that we mention it.
Detroit. Detroit's become
well done,
human, Chris.
Well done you.
I don't know what it is. I can never remember what it's called.
I know. Yeah, that's weird.
I'm just going to start calling it Connor.
You and your man crush for Connor. Get over it.
I like his jacket.
I know you do.
It's a beast. I really want one. Again, anybody out there willing to buy me a jacket along with that Assassin's Creed statue that we plugged last week, please get in touch and make me a happy man.
Moving on.
Yes.
If you're still playing The Division 2 and have access to Amazon and Twitch Prime, you can get some baseball-themed skins this month. They're giving you a jacket and a hat, essentially, in-game.
Very cool. Is it got the brand of some famous baseball team on it or something?
It's got a brand of an in-game baseball team, the Spears.
Oh, a fictional
A fictional in-game only baseball team. So, yeah, if you're still playing The Division 2 and enjoying it, which honestly I've not got, I need to get back on that just to see if anything's changed since the last time I played it, which was before I started on the Epic Days Gone.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure. No, I was going to say you were at one point, pretty fairly recently actually, playing The Division 2 to absolute death skis.
I was, but then Days Gone happened and everything else went out of the window.
Well, you can chuck the zombie hordes out the window now and go back to it and see what's what.
Yes, I can. I'll probably dip into it at some stage over the next week or two and just see if anything has changed, and I'll get back to you on it.
If you ever fancy playing on Xbox One X, I have a copy, so you'll have to let me know. We can revisit it on there as well.
Oh yeah, I'd love to shout at you on that again. I'd forgotten about that.
Exactly. It's the entire reason that exists, Chris. It's the entire reason we're even associated on that platform.
Yeah, now I've finished Days Gone, I might not play on my PS4 for a bit.
Well, there you go. Well, for American listeners specifically, this will be a big boon. You know, baseball is massive, especially in the US, not so much in the UK, unless you kind of set out to be a diehard baseball fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of cool. I suppose you don't even have to like baseball. It's free apparel.
No, you don't. It's just a nice little thing to have.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think I'll probably just log in to get that. Is it just a free drop that you can get forever, or is it a limited time only thing?
Yeah, it's a free drop for, I think, a month at least. So I think they're planning on releasing content through Prime every couple of months.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think they're planning four drops with it.
They must have some crazy deal going on with Amazon. I wonder how that came about. That's another conversation, I suppose.
That is, yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, you may continue.
I will. Back onto Cyberpunk.
Yay.
As we know, you're a bit excited about it. People are petitioning for the you're all breathtaking to be your final achievement or trophy for the game.
That is such a good idea.
And I can't see Project Red can't turn that down, surely, because that was the thing of E3.
They have been known for their fan service on a number of occasions, and they are the type of studio, like I said, that would probably be human enough to consider something like that. Although, I don't know. We've heard nice stories about Insomniac and all sorts of other different game publishers, but still, I reckon they'll probably do it.
I think they will. It'd be rude of them not to, let's be honest.
Is this an active petition?
It is an active petition.
Have you turned into the Elmer Fudd?
Maybe, just for a minute. It's been a very long day.
That's what happens. It's been a long day, therefore I'm now Elmer Thud. Incredible.
Yes, yeah.
If you send me the link over and people are interested, they can go ahead and sign. Is it on change.org or something stupid?
I'll have to find the link and dig into that one, because you know me. I partially research this section and throw it all together at the last minute.
Yeah, and to be honest, I have a very bad habit of not noting down the things that we say we're going to actually put in the show notes. But to be fair, I have to listen pretty much through the entire podcast through editing, so I tend to pick them up then.
That is good.
So hopefully I'll have done my job and the stuff in the show notes.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Here endeth my corner.
Thank you very much, Chris, for that wonderful, insightful, amazing, incredible, wonderful, I've said wonderful, corner.
You're welcome.
Right, on that low blow, let's move on to the plugs and tell people how they can get in touch with us, as we do at the end of every show, every week, and it's not boring at all. Let's do it.
Plug life.
Righty doke. So people have obviously got burning questions, as they do every week, and of course it would be remiss of us not to encourage you to send those questions over to us. The best way in which you can do so is via either the Funky Gamer website at funkygamer.co.uk. There's a contact form on there, specifically a drop-down box that you can click for submitting podcasts, and another one for feedback on the podcast. If you want to go ahead and email us, do it that way. Alternatively, you can tweet at the Funky Gamer Twitter account, which is at Funky Gamer Blog. Alternatively, as always, you can talk to us directly if you wish. I am at Ricky James. Christoph is
at X_CW.
And Dave's social networking stuffs is all in the description below, along with our live streaming links if you want to check that out. We're still consistently live streaming. Now, don't get me wrong, it's been a bit of a mad couple of weeks. It's been a bit off in terms of the days, but I've still made it wherever possible. So if you want to help support us, one of the biggest ways you can do that is by following us over on Mixer, link in the show notes again, or you can go to mixer.com/funkygamer. Another thing that I never plug for some reason, we are on Facebook. Lo and behold, you can just go to facebook.com/funkygamer. Simple.
Yeah, that's something that I'm running.
It is.
Unbeknown to me.
Amazingly, I made Chris admin, but it's not that big of a deal. He's not done anything to sabotage the relationship as of yet, so I've not revoked anything. Anyway,
I've done all right.
You can obviously encourage you to go ahead and chuck the page a like on Facebook. I cannot understate how much of a help that is for us. If you share the post with your friends, even more so. And of course, as I say every week, give us a review on your favorite platform if you're feeling particularly generous. Even if it's just a star review, hit those stars, let us know what you think. If you're feeling incredibly adventurous, you can, of course, leave us some nice words or some constructive feedback if you so desire. That's it. I think that's it. We're also on Instagram, funky.gamer. Probably should say that as well.
Probably.
But everything's down below. If you want to know, you can go and check it out at your own leisure. You know, I'm thinking of the listener here, Chris.
It's very considerate of you.
It is very considerate of me indeed. Dude, have you got anything else?
I've got one more thing.
Well, 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 well.
You all right there? You had a bit of a moment.
I'm absolutely fine. That's my new reaction to your one more thing. Steve Jobs reincarnated. What is it?
Is it? Okay. Gears 5 will not have a season pass or gear packs, and all DLC maps will be free.
That's an amazing move.
It is. It really is.
It's just an incredibly good move. It's very consumer friendly, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's going to be on Game Pass. Happy everybody.
Well, this is what I mean. You get it free on Game Pass. All the updates are free. They're not going to be doing any, at least paid for DLC bits. So,
oh, maybe they'll have surprise mechanics.
That's what it is, Chris. They won't have loot boxes, but they've definitely...
Ah, damn it.
They've definitely got a heavy hand of surprise mechanics built in there.
Oh, they're proper setting themselves up there, aren't they?
Courtesy of EA and Andrew Wilson, who everybody last made.
What's it?
Oh, it's swear word. He is indeed.
I'd done so well.
You had. Well, I swore before, so I'm at liberty to give you one.
Thank you.
That really came out wrong. Please do not delve into the mechanics of that sentence and what maybe we had it.
A bit of a drive.
Dude, there is a whole load of penis jokes that could be made right now. But we're not going to delve down that rabbit hole, Chris, because we're not that kind of podcast.
Please, let's not.
Family friendly. I go out my way to ensure that there's no swear words so that everybody can listen, especially if you've got kids in the car. We don't want to be responsible for them saying dirty words. Although, God, they basically, if you've listened to this consistently with your kids around, they effectively know what it's like to be in a carry-on film.
Pretty much, yes.
With this thing going on. Anyway, it's... excellent news about Gears 5. I'm really happy that they've made that decision.
So
I think it's very pro-consumer.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Well, I don't have anything else, and I'm guessing you're probably out of gas.
I definitely have nothing else.
Well, why don't you say goodbye, my friend?
Goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just making that consistent.
Be a thing now.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's happened twice on the run. Let's see whether we can keep it up.
I know.
Chris, cheers, buddy. We will see you next week, I'm sure.
Yes, cheers. Thank you.
I always say see. It's a here thing. You know what I mean? This is the Funky Gamer Podcast. You're listening to episode 27. My name's Ricky James, and as always, we will speak to you next week.